May God's grace and peace be with you this Thanksgiving season. I don't know about you, but I was touched and blessed by some of those who shared with us this morning about what they're thankful for. By the words that were on the screen as we read, by the songs that were sung. And so we're going to look at a heavenly Thanksgiving this morning. Last week, Clarence and Diana Schultz shared with us in the afternoon about how we've really lost the art of really knowing what it means to seek forgiveness. And that may seem like a strange place to start Thanksgiving with a word about forgiveness, but they do tie together. One of the things that they shared about was the fact that we don't really do forgiveness well in our society any longer. We really have a shallow approach to forgiveness. How many times have you heard someone to say to you, well, if I offended you, I'm sorry? Which basically said, I don't think I did, but obviously you're hurt, so I must have, so oh well. Or we just simply say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? One of the things they pointed out was that we really need to stop and say, I'm sorry, and forgive me for, and say what we're asking them to forgive us for, what we've done wrong. As I was thinking about forgiveness this week, I suddenly realized that there are some similarities between the shallow approach to forgiveness and a shallow approach to thanksgiving that we have in our society. Bear with me. All too often we are slow to seek forgiveness, and all too often we are slow to give thanks. Both require humility. It takes humility to say, please forgive me because of what I did hurt you. It takes humility to say, thank you for what you did for me, because it blessed me. Maybe not as much, but it's still there. And maybe the other side of that coin is that it takes just as much humility to respond and acknowledge the thanks that have been given. In fact, we do something else similar. How often when we've asked forgiveness do we feel that just asking isn't enough? We must do something to earn their forgiveness, something to atone, something to make up for it. And when we're given something, we feel like we must do something to give back. And so someone gives a gift, we must respond again. We can't just accept it on its merits. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think we also, too often, as I've already alluded to, when it comes to forgiveness, we just do, I'm sorry, we don't name that which we've done wrong. And I think all too often we simply say thanks without naming what they've done and acknowledging what was behind it. Someone opens the door and we just say thanks. We don't say thanks for the courtesy. Someone gives a gift and we say thank you for what you gave me, but we don't thank them for the time it took to find the gift, for the thought behind it, for the love with which they express it. And I wonder what would happen if we took time when we say thanks to think beyond just saying thanks, to saying thank you for. And not just that which they've given, but that which is part of them that they gave it with. Do you understand what I'm saying? In fact, as I was preparing for this sermon, I realized I am going to make a change in my life, and I'm going to say thank you to people, not just for what they gave, but for what was behind it. So I've got to get practice. It's not part of how I usually do it. So thank you, Katie, for giving of your time to come to our church when you didn't have to, and being part of our church worship service this morning. And I want to say thank you to Annette for leading the choir and giving of her time in leading the choir, and when we're not always there on time. And to Loretta for giving of her time and being here for the worship service and sharing times of laughter and joy. Do you see what a difference it makes to add what we're thankful for? Not just the gift, but what's behind the gift? And in reality, when we do that, I believe it really enriches us, because what both forgiveness done right and thanksgiving done right, what they really accomplish, forgiveness gives power to restore relationships. Thanksgiving gives power to deepen relationships. And I think that's true with us as individuals, and it's true with our relationship with God. Usually when we thank God, we thank him for material blessings. There are two songs, and I love these songs, and don't misunderstand what I'm going to say next. But A few years ago, Andre Crouch wrote a song called My Tribute. He's, how can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to give your love to me. Remember that song? For the things you have done. A few years back, when I was growing up in church, we would sing a song called Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. Count Your Many, anybody remember that besides me? Count Your Many Blessings, see what God has done. So we enumerate our blessings, and we should. But in reality, thanksgiving goes beyond counting the blessings to thanking the blesser. Goes beyond what we receive to the one who gives out of love and care and compassion. I want to go through just a few verses in Revelation, because Revelation, there are a number of songs throughout the book of Revelation that give the theme to the Revelation, and they're songs that are sung of praise, and I'm not going to go through each verse word by word, but I want you to notice, you can write these verses down and look them up later if you choose, but I want you to notice I put in bold that which they're singing praise to God for. They don't praise him for the gifts, they praise him because he is holy, because he is Lord, because he is almighty, because he is eternal, he is the one who is, who was, who and is, and is to come. In 4:10-11, they thank him because you created us and that his will is a perfect will, that he has power to follow his will and to make things happen. They praise him in chapter 5, verses 8-12, because he redeemed us and he calls us his ransomed people. They praise him in verse 11 because he is the Lamb who was slain, who died for us. They praise him in the verses we read this morning because he gives salvation. It doesn't say salvation belongs to our God. It says salvation comes from him, as that's what it really means. And blessing and glory and honor, we'll come back to that, and thanksgiving and power might be to our God forever and ever. In chapter 11, verses 16-18, they praise him because he's almighty, because he reigns, he is the king, because he judges and because he rewards his saints. They praise him in chapter 15, because he is amazing in what he does, his deeds. Because he is just and true, he is the king, and because he performs righteous acts. They praise him in chapter 16 because he is holy, he is eternal, and because he has just judgments. They praise him in chapter 19 because the salvation and glory and power, and because he is once again judged. And they praise him in chapter 19 because we rejoice because he has granted us to reign with him and given us his righteousness. We praise him once again. So back to chapter 7, verses 19 and 20. I want you to notice two things in this passage. This is at the center of it all. I want you to notice what it says. It says that those who were there in verse 10, it says they cried out with a loud voice. This is in heaven. This is before God's throne in God's presence. We often think of worship as silence. Listen, it says they cried out. You know what that word for cry is? In the Greek, it's a word that is given that sounds like the way they say it. You know, when we say the word bam, that's a word that sounds like what you hear, okay? The word for cry is a word that sounds like what you hear. It's a word for a crow crowing. Anybody ever heard a silent crow? The word for crying out, they are so excited about. They cry out with a, it's a voice that is so loud, it's like a crow crowing. And they cry out salvation. Why? Because they want everyone to hear it. Then they join together and they say, amen, blessing and glory and honor and praise. Can't read through the tree, so I have to find my notes. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power might be to our God. The word blessing means to say good things about somebody. When you thank God, when do you say good things about him? And when do you just say, thanks for the gift, God? We are blessing God when we give thanks. To give glory means we acknowledge that his character is true and right. We're thanking him for his character. To thank him for his wisdom means we recognize that he's omnipotent and he's omniscient and he knows all things. Thanksgiving means to give with gratitude, to say it with gratitude. Honor means we elevate him above where we are, recognizing he's above us. And power and might means we recognize that he's the one in whom all things exist and he's the one whose power keeps us alive. And so this Thanksgiving, I want to ask you, how are you going to say thanks to God? Are you just simply going to thank him for the food and the family and the house and the blessings? Or are you going to thank him for who he is, a great, mighty God? Because that's how they do it in heaven. That's how they do it in heaven. To acknowledge that he is God, a God we can trust, a God whose love is beyond our wildest imagination, a God whose justice is totally fair, a God who reigns in heaven above and who watches over us out of love and grace and mercy. In your bulletin, there's a page. And you don't have to fill it out today, but we put in there 10 reasons to praise God, and there's two sections. One is to express to God, and the other is to express to others. This Thanksgiving, would you take a few moments and write down what you're going to thank God for? Not just the blessings of life, but for him. Not just what he's given you, but the fact that he is God and that you can trust him regardless. Would you take time to write down the name of a person or persons that you want to thank, not just for the fact, as Kelly so pointed out so well in the children's story, not just for the fact that they're supposed to do things or that they've done things for you, but for the fact of who they are and why they've done what they've done for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a deepness to Thanksgiving that we've missed. I know that's not good English, but I meant it that way. There is a deepness to thanks that we've missed because we stop at the things that people do for us. And we haven't gone on to recognize that which lies behind the things they do for us. And I want to end just by saying one thing. One of the things I appreciate and I'm thankful for in this church congregation is the diversity of our membership. And our pastoral staff today really tried to include people from all age groups, people from various cultures, people who's been here a short time, people who've been here a long time. We deliberately did that because we want to acknowledge that we are grateful that God has brought all these people from different backgrounds and from different places, and we can all worship God together because that's what we're going to do in heaven. I hope and pray that this Thanksgiving will truly be a Thanksgiving in which you will be able to say, God, thank you. I've learned that you are a God who is awesome. You're awesome in love. You're awesome in grace. You're awesome in mercy. You're awesome in justice. You're awesome in righteousness. Thank you for being the God you are who gave his son to die for me. And the blessings you give come from who you are. And it makes all the difference in my relationship with you. Take time to be thankful, not just for what you've been given, but for those who give it to you. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me? Lord, thank you that you are an awesome God. Thank you that we can trust you with our lives. Thank you that even when we go through difficult times, when the blessings don't seem to be there, we can know that you still are God and that one day we'll understand everything. Be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. May you have a happy and praise-filled Thanksgiving.